This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I am Freddie Bell, and welcome to the show. We've got a big action-packed program for you, including Cassie Crandall with Today's Lifestyles. Also, listen for a selection from the Reverend James Stacy. He is a senior minister for Unity South Twin Cities. He'll be talking about sufficiency. Jay Hapala from AARP Minnesota joins us to talk about scams and how to keep more of your money. And speaking of money, Lipo Sternbach is here this week. He'll be talking about finance. Joe McKenzie is here, too, with some advice for your career. All this and more on New Beginnings, and our show starts right now. You know, I've heard about the grandmother scams. I've heard about the Bitcoin scams. I've heard about the deposit the check scam. I've heard about the holiday scams. Jay Hapala, the Associate Director of Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, I've never heard about the one you're going to share about today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Freddie. Good morning, Chantel. Yeah, those scammers are lurking everywhere in your emails, in on the phone line, on the internet, in your DMs. They've thought of everything.
So is this real? Is this a typo? Are you really going to talk to us today about solar panel scams?
Yeah, in fact, Attorney General Keith Ellison filed suit just recently against three solar panel companies here operating in Minnesota. And what he said is, I'm suing these companies because they've taken advantage of Minnesotans who are trying to save money for their families and create a cleaner environment for everyone. And here's these scammers messing it up for people.
Oh, my gosh. So how are they deceiving folks like you and me?
Yeah, so I took this right from the report about the case. And what our attorney general says is that they tricked homeowners who thought they were just signing up for more information into actually signing binding contracts. They exaggerated how much money consumers would save on their utility bills. They told people that they were automatically eligible for tax credits when they were not. And when the people tried to get out of the contracts, the companies threatened them with lawsuits and big fees to get out of the deal. And then when some of the customers went through getting the panels installed, the companies just did a poor job and really didn't deliver on their promises. So for folks out there who might be considering solar panels, there are certainly reputable companies to be working with, and it may be a good deal for your home and your property and your bills and the environment and all that good stuff. But people have to be cautious and not run into these, some of the companies that are scamming people.
So they exaggerated how much money consumers would save on their utility bills. That's a very interesting thing. So what's the best way to get around not being fooled by this? Should you call your utility company and just verify these things?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. And it really is about slowing down. So these companies, if they're going to be acting fraudulently or if they're going to be just acting unethically and trying to take advantage of people, beware of the high pressure. You have to act right away. You have to act right now. Sales kind of tactics. If they're promising you especially low prices, or they say they have surplus materials that you can save money with, that's a big red flag. Mm-hmm. And then be really cautious about putting down a big down deposit or a big deposit up front. And get multiple, people should get multiple quotes. They shouldn't be just signing on the dotted line with someone who comes knocking on their door one afternoon.
You know, I've seen these guys on these two-wheel machines. I can't think of the name of it right now. They just kind of glide down the street and they come up to the door and they're selling everything. Solar panels, they're selling home improvement, all the rest of it. Should we in general just stay from these guys who come into the neighborhoods like this, Jay, or call you on the phone offering these kind of deals?
Yes. So it's a good idea not to be signing paper with someone who comes knocking on your door. If they want to leave you some materials, that's fine. You can look up their company online, check them out with the Better Business Bureau. And when it comes to construction contractors like these, you can check with the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry to make sure they're a good company to deal with. But once again, you know, if you're someone knocks on your door and maybe you're interested in new windows for your house or you need to have some kind of repairs done, don't just go with that one company. Get multiple quotes from multiple companies and go with the best one.
All right. Is there a number that we can call at the Attorney General's office? I mean, we happen to know Keith Ellison fairly well, and I'm sure he'll take your call. What's the telephone number to reach Keith?
Yeah, that's right. I understand they're very responsive, and they're still taking reports. If your listeners out there have, maybe some of them have been victimized by these companies selling solar panels and not delivering on their promises, the phone number to call the Attorney General, Keith Ellison, is 651-296-3353. And if folks just go online and search Attorney General Keith Ellison solar panels, the first articles that'll come up will tell them the information that they need.
All right. Well, always a pleasure to talk to you, Jay. We appreciate you keeping us up to date on all things fraudulent. Associate State Director, Community Engagement at AARP Minnesota, Jay Hoppala, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Chantel. Thanks, Freddie.
You're welcome. Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
In our never-ending effort to find valuable information and insight in all areas, it's time to bring in Cassie Crandall with this week's Three Things.
Thanks, Freddie. And here are my three things for this week. Thing number one, I am so excited. Summer movies. There are so many great movies coming out this month of May. This weekend, I'm taking my son to see Doctor Strange because we're really into Marvel movies. I love the Marvel movies. Maybe it's because I have so many boys. Action movies, all the Star Wars movies, the Marvel movies, etc., etc. And who isn't excited about Maverick? Tom Cruise reprising his role from Top Gun? I think our age group may be the only ones really interested in it. But I asked my 17-year-old son the other day, are you excited to see Maverick, the new Top Gun movie? And he said, no, not really. And I asked him, did you see the first one? And he said, yeah, I watched it with you guys. But you're not interested in Maverick? Nope. I guess it's something that only our generation gets. So my thing number two this week, if you've been listening to me at all the last few weeks, you know that I am dieting. Who hates dieting? I do. I'm not good at it. It often makes me cranky and sometimes depressed. But I have to say that this time hasn't been too bad. The food I'm eating is pretty good. It doesn't take much time to prepare. And with eating several times a day, which is a little bit different than what I was usually doing, which is three times a day or more, I don't feel terribly hungry. And so that's a really good thing because there's nothing more miserable than feeling hungry when you're dieting, and it makes it so easy to just say, forget it, I'm giving up. And I don't want to feel like giving up. I really want to do it this time. I want to feel better about how I look and feel in clothes, and I want to feel more confident. I don't want to feel like I need to hide behind people when someone's taking pictures. So there it is, as I self-talk my way through continuing my diet, I'm happy to say that I am down 7 pounds. Either that or my husband's adjusting the scale. But it is encouraging that I'm down 7 pounds. I don't feel it yet. I don't feel that I look any different. But knowing that something's happening, then it makes it all worthwhile. And last but not least, here's my thing number three. It's a bit of a joke that you might appreciate. A German Shepherd, a Doberman, and a cat died. In heaven, all three faced God. who wanted to know what they believed in. The German Shepherd said, "I believe in discipline, training, and loyalty to my master." "Good," said God. "Sit at my right side." "Doberman, what do you believe in?" asked God. Doberman answered, "I believe in the love, care, and protection of my master." "Aha," said God, "you may sit to my left." Then God looked at the cat and asked, "And what do you believe in?" The cat replied, "I believe you are sitting in my seat." For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week. And now some items just for fun on New Beginnings. A lunar eclipse is coming. If you ever gaze up at the full moon and think, it's okay, I guess, but when does it do something? May is your month. Most of North America will be treated to a full lunar eclipse, a complete blood moon, this month. You can watch the entire show in most of North America, all of South America and Western Africa, and parts of Western Europe late on May 15th and into May 16th. The action begins at 9:31 Eastern Standard Time on May 15th, with peak eclipse occurring at 12:02 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on May 16th. Obvious? Beer could be a better painkiller than acetaminophen. Two or three beers may be a better painkiller than the stuff you get in the drugstores, that according to a British study. Researchers are discovering strong evidence that alcohol is an effective painkiller. They also concluded the more beer people drank, the less pain they felt. I think we already know that. The study compared 18 different controlled experiments that involved 404 people. They found that a blood alcohol content of 0.08, about three or four regular drinks, can reduce pain by up to 25%. It also increased pain tolerance a little. Let's talk about the direction your bed is facing. Doctors say it may be making you sick. Could your interior design skills actually save your physical and mental health? There's a new study explaining that just by pointing your bed and other furniture in the right direction, your well-being could improve. A team of researchers looked at 40 years of research into the practice of architecture. Whether you call it zen or flow, they found that where certain objects are inside a building, as well as the direction they face, can impact everything from stress to sleep to mental health. According to the study, if your head is facing to the east or south when you sleep, you're more likely to have lower heart rate, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol levels tend to be a little bit better. It's wacky, but it's true. Bread thieves went back for the butter. Let me explain. Thieves stole some bread from a Brazilian shop, and they were arrested when they went back for more. They took bread, milk, drinks, biscuits, chocolates, and about $20 from the shop. Witnesses say the men returned 5 minutes later, only to be arrested by police, who had been called in the meantime. Police say the suspects said they went back because they'd forgotten to steal the butter. And can you guess, around the world, nearly every person does this in 0.3 seconds. What is it? They blink. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast. Featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the new New Beginnings podcast today.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to your financial health in retirement. And with us is Leibel Sternbach. He is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Leibel, hello and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. I'm well. You got me fired up last time we talked. So let's pick up on the discussion where we started last week when we were going into the economy, and you made me kind of sad, Leibel, because you really underscore the fact that America may be an underdeveloped society.
Yes, but we are still the leaders in a lot of technology. And that just means that we have room to grow. And if you want to look at the bright side of that, right, the only reason why we're an underdeveloped nation when it comes to certain technologies and job sectors is because we were the first. And in being the first, it means that we have to rip out old infrastructure to build new ones. And that's something that's expensive. And so we don't necessarily invest in that, even though, you know, it would be beneficial, mainly because we're not going to recoup that investment. However, I will tell you this. Despite all of that, we still contribute about 24% to the global economy. We make up 24%, even though our population is something like 4%. So we have a very much outsized impact, and we still do. And I hope as a nation that we keep that edge and be that contributing force to the global economy with leading technologies, with leading economic policies, so that we continue to drive that engine instead of just being a cog in the machine.
You've told us and you've written about the fact that you don't think that we're heading for a recession. And you said a lot of times that this is triggered, the concerns we have are triggered by anxiety or worry. So what do we do to maintain a positive outlook about where we are personally, where we are as a nation, as we try to navigate tough times with, in spite of what we're seeing happening half a world away?
I think the key is we need to look at the indicators that actually matter rather than what's making the news. Mm. I'm reading this book by a psychologist and an economist. And in it, he gives an example of, I forgot what it was the, I think when we invaded Iraq the first time, it was Iraq invaded Kuwait. And he has in there the bond market, you know, tanked that day. And then it recovered. And you had in the morning, the headline says that the bond market tanked on war in Middle East. And then in the afternoon, it had a competing headline that said that the bond market rallies because of war in the Middle East. And it's, we as human beings like to look for explanations as to why things are happening. And we may not have the full understanding of why things are happening. And things may be happening because a lot of people are trying to figure out what's happening. So a lot of this is just a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so when we are looking at the economy, when we're looking at our futures, we need to look at what we know to be true, right and true. And we can't be looking all over for different signposts and trying to come up with stories of what's happening. We need to take a hard look and say, am I protected, right? If let's say there was a recession, will I be able to put food on the table, yes or no? Is the job that I have at risk? Is my, you know, if I'm retired, is my retirement at risk? And if it is that a risk that I am worried about? Mm-hmm. Or is that something that I feel like I can deal with? Because if you feel like you can handle whatever comes up, then you're not going to worry about a recession. You're not going to worry about what happens in the market. And as a result, if you don't worry about it and your neighbor doesn't worry about it and their neighbor doesn't worry about it, and if the majority of people don't worry about it, then it's not going to come to pass. A most recent example is the Trump administration, right? The Trump administration, what happened to the stock market, what happened in our economy, I mean, nobody can argue with the fact that it rallied like crazy, that we've had, you know, astronomic growth. But when you look at policies, when you look at actual actions, the actual actions did not necessarily translate or would not lead someone to translate that into that type of return. But it was the euphoria that everyone felt. Everyone believed that the market was going to grow. Everyone believed that Trump was going to do what was right by the market. Excuse me. And so the market rallied and the world rallied behind it because they're like, if the U.S. is going to grow and believes the world's going to grow, then the world's going to grow because we all go along for the ride. And so a lot of this is perception, right? But that perception starts inside of us. What do we actually believe? And you need to have confidence in your financial future if the country is going to have confidence in its financial future.
That's very good advice. And I'm interested. So you're talking about we really can't rely on the news. We have to rely on what would you list as three things that we should be looking to give us solace that everything is okay when we're looking at whether or not this is a bull market, whether or not there's a Democrat or a Republican at the helm at the president's office level. Where do you point to?
Where do I point to? So the first thing that I like to do is I take a step back, right? And I look at it from a historical standpoint. And as far as the stock market is concerned, right? Like if we look back to, you know, the very first markets, you go back 300 years and you look at just how the market has grown. And the market consistently provides returns, and it consistently provides returns because investors need returns. It's a little bit like a self-fulfilling prophecy. People have babies, and you know those babies need to buy things, and people need to provide for it. So the money comes from somewhere. There's resources to exploit. There's goods to be made, and it's a never-ending cycle. So as long as we keep that cycle going, we'll be good. Right. And I, as far as I know, you know, unless the, you know, nuclear war starts, in which case none of this matters. But unless that happens, right, people are going to still have babies. Still, people are going to still need to want things. And the fact is that, you know, if you just look in your own personal life, compare now to 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, the amount of stuff that you have and the technology in those stuffs and the cost of those stuff has skyrocketed. Right. And so, while yes, your wages may not have increased with inflation. Yes, maybe the price of housing has skyrocketed. But guess what? So is the value of the phone in your pocket and what it's capable of doing. And the, you know, the technology in your car, self-driving cars. Right. Like we actually have that. That was just a pipe dream 10 years ago. And wow. So, while the dollar value may not be there so much, the economic, when economists talk about utility and economic value, that very much is there, right? With a push of a button on our phone, we can have someone go grocery shopping for us.
That's the truth. We're talking with Lyville Sternbach, and we're talking about the economy. Can we shift gears? You're talking about self-driving cars, so let's shift gears just a little bit. You've told me earlier that it's really tough to time the market, but can you make investments or move money around just based on what you're seeing? Is that a sort of is that timing the market something we should stay away from?
So timing the market is so I'm going to give you two answers. So the one answer is generally timing the market is a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And it's because we as human beings are very bad at timing the market. And the reason why we're bad at timing the market is because the market is made up of individual people, and individual people are not rational, right? We as individuals are not rational. We as a group are even less rational, right? And so while, yeah, you can talk to someone and they'll say, yeah, you know, I've got a good reason for why I'm doing what I'm doing, you might think that that person is completely insane, and you'd probably be correct that that person is completely insane and they think the same thing about you. But guess what? That's all the participants of the market, right? And they all very strongly believe one way or the other. And so you can look at overall direction. You can look at, if you look at long-term, right? If you look at long-term, now all of a sudden averages start coming into play. Reality takes a shape somewhat, right? Like if the country is going to grow, if the economy is going to grow, if we're adding jobs, you know, if we're producing goods that the rest of the world wants, or at least the people in our country want to buy, that is going to create wealth. However, if you're looking at, and that will create wealth over the long time, over the long term, right? 5, 10, 20 years.
Sure.
If you're looking day to day, right? I mean, it's worse than Vegas. At least in Vegas, you know, the odds. Here, you're at the whims of a madman, right? Elon Musk just bought Twitter. Who could have seen that happening?
Nobody saw that one coming.
Yeah.
So talk to me then, Lyville, about buying and holding versus active investing, because, you know, we've heard a lot both ways, and I know you hear it all. What do you think is better? Is there one way that's better than the other?
So I think it has to do with, I think you got to ask yourself two questions. One, where am I in my accumulation, distribution, wealth phase, right? Am I in the growing my wealth phase, or am I in the distribution where I'm using my wealth phase? Because when you're accumulating, then you have time on your side, and it doesn't matter what happens in the market, just buy and hold, and you will win, right? You don't have trying to go in and out, trying to win more than the market. That historically, statistically doesn't work.
Okay.
Some people are good at it, but statistically, it doesn't work. If you're on your distribution phase, right? If you're in retirement and you're relying on that money, then yes, you do need to time the market, not because you're trying to outperform the market, but because you want to make sure that when you're taking income from your portfolio, that you're not locking in losses, that you're not accelerating the market declines, right? So I don't want you to try to, you know, outperform the market. I want you to try to not lose as much as the market. And that is something that is definitely possible. The other thing that you really need to look at is, what type of market cycle are we in? You all heard the term, you know, bull and bear markets, and it right. refers to, you know, people refer to different things, but Guggenheim has this great chart, which you can find on our website, which shows the historical market cycles, bull and bear market cycles over the last 125 years for the Dow Jones. And what you can very clearly see is that during bull markets, so when the market is going up, and this means on average going up, it has ups and downs within that. But when you plot a trend line, you can see that it's steadily going upwards. So during a bull market, anyone can win. Last 15 years have been a bull market. The 90s were a bull market. Anyone can win. Trying to time the market is probably the easiest way to lose your money during that period. However, in a bear market, and a bear market is where the market kind of moves sideways. Again, it moves up and down, but when you plot it between two points, it generally is moving sideways. And so we had that, you know, from 2000 to 2011. You had that, you know, in the 80s. You have these periods, and there's, you know, I think it was five bull markets in the last 125 years. During those periods, if you just buy and hold, you are going to miss out. You will get some return from dividends, because that chart doesn't include dividends necessarily. Mm-hmm. But overall, your value is going to remain pretty steady. You're going to beat inflation by a little bit, but not by much, because the market as a whole is kind of just moving sideways. Now, when you look within that, there are sectors that are doing well. There are sectors that are doing poorly. There are companies that are doing well, and there's companies that are doing poorly. And it's during those periods we are using non-buy and hold strategies. So using momentum-based strategies that look for those ups and downs and look for, you know, what's in favor, what's not in favor. And there are technical ways of doing this. That's where that active management really shines. And it's why I think that we've entered what's known as a secular bear market. And so market can still go up. Mm-hmm. And it'll go up and down. But I think over the long run, it's more going to move sideways like what we've been seeing. And it's during these periods of time where the buy and hold investors end up losing money or just maintaining. And it is the active investors who make a lot of money. And I think that's what we've been seeing the last few months. And I think we're going to continue seeing that.
Libel, we only have 30 seconds left. How can we get more information on the bull, the bear, or anything financial, especially with the economy?
On my website, go to yieldsforyou.com. I've got a whole bunch of reports that you can download there, including the ones that I've mentioned here. Check out my blog, Label on Fire. We've got all kinds of reports and articles and resources over there as well.
Thank you, Libel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. His website is simply libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. All Minnesotans age 12 and older who got the Pfizer vaccine should get a booster shot at least 5 months after their second dose. People age 12 to 17 can also receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine as their booster dose. To find a vaccine or a booster for your child, visit mn.gov/vaxforkids or check with your healthcare provider or pharmacy, or watch for vaccination clinics being offered at schools or other community locations near you. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
In case you missed it, it happened this week. The fight for abortion rights is far from over. More protests are possible next week as Roe v. Wade may soon be overturned. Crowds marched and chanted across the nation this week in support of women making their own choices. The Supreme Court insists the ruling isn't final. Former President Barack Obama is asking Americans to join activists to stand against the draft Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Obama released a statement on Twitter expressing disappointment with the alleged decision, writing that it would reverse nearly 50 years of precedent. They criticized the fact that it would give such a personal decision to politicians instead of individuals. The former first couple says it would affect not just women, but all Americans who believe the government should have boundaries on making choices that affect personal lives. And money is flowing into the Democratic Party over fears more states will restrict abortions. The donation website ActBlue has raised at least $7 million since earlier this week. That's when a report leaked about the Supreme Court possibly ending Roe v. Wade. Comedian Dave Chappelle is okay after being tackled by a fan. He was performing in California earlier this week when a man jumped on the stage. The show was part of the Netflix It's a Joke Festival, which includes dozens of live shows across different venues in Los Angeles. And the Federal Reserve Monetary Policy announced a 0.5% rate increase in an effort to pump the brakes on inflation. This comes after a 0.25% increase in March. Supply chain issues and now the war in Ukraine have fueled rising prices. And the U.S. government now says WNBA star Brittany Griner is being wrongfully detained by the Russian government. Griner was arrested at a Russian airport in February, accused of having hashish oil in her luggage. She hasn't formally been charged. The change in the government's designation means it will now try to negotiate for Griner's release instead of waiting to see what happens in the Russian legal system. Meanwhile, her family, friends, and fans back home have been working tirelessly to bring attention to her case. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. And we turn our attention now to Unity South Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. They have services at 9 and at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Let's join Minister Stacy with a program already in progress. Part one of a lesson entitled, An Elegant Sufficiency.
I'll start right away with that title. A friend of mine, her late mother, really enjoyed that term, an elegant sufficiency. An elegant sufficiency. A journalist wrote, John Bogle, an investor and founder of the Vanguard Group, once told a story about money that highlights something we don't think about often enough. At a party given by a billionaire on Shelter Island, the author Kurt Vonnegut informed his pal, author Joseph Heller, that their host, a hedge fund manager, had made more money in a single day than Heller had earned from his wildly popular novel, Catch-22, over its whole history. Heller responded, "Yes, but I have something he will never have. Enough." Enough. The journalist went on, "I was stunned by the simple eloquence of that word, stunned for two reasons. First, because I have been given so much in my own life, and second, because Joseph Heller couldn't have been more accurate. For a critical element of our society, including many of the wealthiest and most powerful among us, there seems to be no limit today on what enough means." What an insight. What does enough mean to you? We each define it in our own way. One dictionary definition of enough is a quantity or degree that answers a purpose or satisfies a need or desire sufficiently. Satisfies a need or a desire sufficiently.
Moses, in the Hebrew Scriptures, made a request of God when he and the people were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. A great period of time. God said the people need water. And he followed his inner inspiration and struck the rock. And the water poured forth and met their need. And we all know the story of the manna. When God spoke to Moses as the spiritual leader and said, tell the people each morning to go out and gather the manna from the ground, some mysterious substance, but yet it was what they needed for that day's need. And Moses cautioned them, don't try to store it up, to hoard it, and put it in your tent, because it will spoil. And those that did gather the manna into great jars and took them into the tent, the next morning, they discovered it was covered with flies and was this rotting substance. God provided it for the moment, for the day. And then the next day, it appeared again. It was a frosty-like substance on the ground that they could gather and meet the need of the moment, but they couldn't hoard it and store it for a future time. They were to take the blessing that I believe Jesus, centuries later, would call the daily bread. All that is necessary to meet your need in that day's moment. The great prophet Elisha directed the widow who came to him in great need because her husband had died in battle. She had two young sons and no means of support, and the creditors, she said, were already on the way to take her sons into slavery to meet the debt. That's pretty serious. She turned to Elisha and said, what can I do? And he said, what do you have in your household? What do you have in your household? And we know from historical reference that that was a metaphysical or metaphorical idea for the Hebrew people. What is in your household? It meant what is in your mind? What is in your consciousness? She said, all I have is this one jar of oil. But of course, to put it in historical context, the olive oil was a very valuable substance. And she said, I had one jar. And Elijah said, go to your neighbors and gather all the containers you can. Bring them into your house. Close the door. That is, turn within. And that oil will pour forth to meet your need. And so her sons brought her a vessel. She filled it, set it aside. Brought another vessel, filled it, set it aside. Brought another vessel, filled it, set it aside. And then when she said, bring me another vessel, and the children said, there are none. There are none left. The oil stopped. It was only there to meet her capacity in the moment. And for her at that time, it was only a certain number of containers. We would all like to think we would be wise enough to go over to Home Depot and get those 5-gallon buckets and have like maybe 1,000 of them in the house to fill. But come on. She did what she could do. And the substance poured forth to meet her receptivity in that moment. Not what she would be able to conceive next week, next year, 10 years from then, but the moment. It was enough for the moment. Jesus, in one of his greatest miracles, so often talked about the feeding of the multitude. He set an example for us. Because when his disciples came and said, we're way out here, maybe not the wilderness, but way out beyond the suburbs, and these people are hungry, and it's getting dark. Master, what are we going to do? And he said, get the people to settle and sit on the ground in groups. And then he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He lifted his thought to a higher realm, and he gave thanks for what they had in the moment. The proverbial five fish and a few loaves of bread. He blessed the good they had right there. And suddenly, like the widow's oil, that good was enough to give to every group. 5,000, the scripture records. And of course, they only counted men.
Unity South Twin Cities, 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, Minnesota. You can join them each week either at 9 or at 10:30 a.m. and for their weekly activities as well.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. Joining us is the Director of Clinical Partnerships with Oldham Rehabilitation, Trigg Lundgren. Trigg, good morning and welcome to our program.
Good morning, Freddie. Thanks so much for having me.
You're one of the key collaborative partners with the Cord McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. For those who haven't heard from you in some time, tell us about the work of Oldham Rehabilitation.
Sure. So we are a provider of physical and occupational therapy services here at the Cord McCorvey Center. So we have multiple offices here just past the part of the center where the YMCA used to be. And we also have a therapy pool. So we provide those therapy options for people who are in pain or going through rehabilitation from, like I said, both physical and occupational therapy.
So in that regard, what is the general age group of people that you see and how can they get involved with the work of Oldham Rehabilitation?
Sure. Oftentimes, we're seeing people that are adults or older adults. So we're seeing people ages 30 plus here in this location. If somebody needs therapy services, if you need physical therapy, you do not need orders from a doctor to come and get an evaluation. Mm. For occupational therapy, you do need a signed order from your doctor, but that doesn't mean you need to go visit the doctor. Your doctor can just fax us directly if you call in or if you have a communication portal with your physician.
Everybody, Trigg Lundgren with us this morning with Oldham Rehabilitation Center. So how many people do you see? I know that you've been a partner for some time at the Cord McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. How long has that relationship been and what's the future of that relationship?
Yeah, so we've been here for 5 years now. And in fact, we just surpassed our five-year mark a couple of months ago. We're planning to continue in that manner here in the Cord McCorvey Center. So we've been here for, like I said, just over 5 years providing these therapy services. It's been a pleasure to be here. It's been eye-opening as well to be a part of a community like this. It's been a nice niche for our company to be in, and we've really enjoyed it.
Speaking of niches, I know that the pandemic has really impacted companies and organizations like yours in a number of different ways, but it seems that you've been able to really thrive through the pandemic. How have you been able to navigate?
You know, a lot of it has just simply been the visibility here with the North Point physicians, as well as the fact that we can offer services in a way that feels comfortable to people who are concerned. So, of course, our equipment is cleaned. Our therapists are wearing their masks. We're able to maintain distance if we need to. And because of those things, I think we've been able to continue to have the patient population that we were seeing prior. We typically see between 15 and 20 people a day between our therapists.
Wow, that's a lot of people. It's amazing to me that the number of people that you see need the services provided by Oldham.
Yeah, you know, it's people tend to think that they roll over and just allow their pain to take over, right? You get low back pain, you get leg pain, and you take it for granted. But the reason that we're here, and of course, the passion that we have is allowing people to live life to their fullest. So We really want that message to be spread. I think that in the community, like I said, people tend to just take it for granted and say, this is just something I need to live with. And it's not, you know, low back pain is not something that you should just have to live with. Shoulder, hip, knee pain, anything like that. So our therapists are here. They're experienced. They do this all day, every day. And it's a great place to come to get better.
How can we get engaged? How can our listeners who are hearing you outline the services of Odom, how can they get engaged with you?
Yep. So they can call us directly if they want. The number is 612-505-1709. They can visit our website, odomrehab.com, odomrehab.com. And again, our phone number is 612-505-1709. If any of the listeners do go to North Point, all the North Point physicians and their nurse practitioners, et cetera, are also familiar with us and have our contact information.
Drake, do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience? I know who will soon be availing themselves, if they've not, to Odom Rehabilitation.
I think just to reiterate what I said, living with pain is not something that should be a part of your normal daily life. Do something about it. We're here to help take that first step. And taking that first step is usually 80% of the process, taking that initiative. So get out there and do it. You won't look back.
That's Trigg Lundgren of Odom Rehabilitation Center, and you're listening to New Beginnings. Thanks, Trigg.
Thanks so much, Freddie. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to New Beginnings, and today is National Butterscotch Brownie Day. Each year on this date, it recognizes a delicious treat. Butterscotch brownies, also known as blondies or brookies, that's a brownie plus a cookie, they made their debut before chocolate brownies did. Recipes date back to the 19th century and are made of flour, brown sugar, butter, eggs, baking powder, and vanilla. Walnuts, pecans, or butterscotch chips are sometimes added to the brownies. These brownies taste delicious with a dollop of ice cream on top. They're also terrific when they're cut up into chunks and layered with puddings or mousse or whipped cream. Make them for bake sales or tasty little gifts. No matter what excuse you use to make them, be sure to share them. And here are today's words to the wise. I am empowered to express the essence of who I am. Today's words to the wise. I am empowered to express the essence of who I am. For more information on my brand new book, Words to the Wise, you can find it at freddiebell.com. And with us right now is Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He has a way of turning candidates into contenders. His website, Ripple Connects, with an S, RippleConnects.com. Joe McKenzie is with us right now. Good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad to talk with you today, because we want to talk about, you've mentioned we've come through the first quarter very, very well. You talked about that being the wonderful hiring season in the fourth quarter. We got people ready for that. And now you're talking about ways to stand out during the hiring process. How do you stand out when you've already sent the resume? Maybe you've had a conversation or two to get ready. How do you stand out in the process, Joe McKenzie?
Well, there's three ways that I've seen over the years, and really it's preparing from the beginning. So even before you make your approach or submit your resume, you're ready. You have to have that proactive mindset. I believe that you develop your own set of questions for use in all stages of the hiring process will help you to stand out. It's one thing to do your research on the internet on what great questions are, but if you can carefully curate questions that are very honed into that organization and what they need to achieve, what are some of the challenges, that will make you stand out, because an employer wants someone to be able to lean in on what they're experiencing. And you just can't do that by printing off questions from the internet. You have to be able to speak directly to some of the challenges, some of the accomplishments that they need.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie on New Beginnings this weekend. We're talking about three ways to stand out during the hiring process. And I just have a question. How do you know if you're standing out? What are some clues during the process that to indicate to you that perhaps you are connecting with that employing official?
Well, I think you pay attention to their reaction to you and your questions. They may say, that's an interesting question. No one's really asked it in that way before. That might be a sign that you're going down the right path. assume that you're going to have to stand out. The Twin Cities has so many talented professionals from all walks of life, all different experience levels, all different industries. They all bring transferable skills. They all bring emotional intelligence, leadership skills. Just assume that you're going to have to stand out and do things different than you've probably done in the past to make sure that you stand out.
What's point number three in standing out, Joe McKenzie?
And just kind of wrap it all up, you know, don't make it all about you. This is about that organization, what they need to accomplish, what they're experiencing, what are some of the headwinds that they're experiencing. If you don't make it all about you and you really focus in on what they need to achieve with that position or where this organization needs to go versus, hey, I'm great. I've been over here. I'm certainly going to bring that over here. But without those curiosity, that level of curiosity, without those questions, you're making it all about you. You need to make it about the employer and what they need to accomplish. And that will help you stand out. Because if you're listening closely and you're asking good questions, you might be able to give a sampling of how you'd go about solving that. And that's not making it about you. That's making about us. And that is the employer and the applicant. Hopefully that will become an employee arrangement with that type of mindset. Don't make it all about you. Make it about them and what they need to accomplish, and therefore you will stand out.
That's point number three. Point number two is bring a high level of curiosity about the position, organization, and its direction. And number one, developing your own set of questions for use in stages of the hiring process that will help you to stand out. Joe McKenzie, we got to leave it right there. You do some fine work at Ripple Connect, sir.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
That's our show for you this week. Thanks to all of our guests for stopping by, including Leibel Sternbach, Cassie Crandall, Joe McKenzie, Jay Hapala, and of course you. Without you, our show wouldn't be possible. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your week. And remember that every day is a chance for a new beginning.